I call the Canyon Planning Board meeting of January 18th, 2023 in session at 7 p.m. Would you please rise and join me and pledge allegiance to the flag?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you for attending.
Do a roll call. Rudy here. Mark
here.
Brian
here.
Judy
here.
Josh
here.
Joyce
here.
Scott, I believe, is excused. Tim
here.
Mike.
Mike.
And Mike Santa. Yep. And Kevin
here.
Okay.
Linda. And Linda.
Oh, I'm sorry, Linda. Yes.
Hey, Mike. Santa.
Linda, are you here?
And I.
Okay.
And Mike Santa is
no. Mike is not here. Okay. Scott's not here, and I believe it's Tim's turn to come on up.
Okay.
Be a voting member of the board tonight, for the record. Tim Darcy will be covering for Scott Komisarek. Let's see. We'll start with new business. The first item tonight is the grant application update presentation with Cam Coleman and Nate Miller from Southern New Hampshire Regional Planning Commission. This is on the grant application for the housing initiative, the Housing Opportunities Initiative. And so I'm going to leave it, I'll give you the floor.
Thank you. I will introduce, if those of you who may not know Cam Coleman, he's a regional planner in our office. He is much more of an expert in the housing opportunity program than I am. So even though my name is on the agenda here to help give this presentation, I am largely going to yield the floor to Cam to walk through. He has done all of the work on this effort and can work with the board. I'll be here if any questions come up for me, but Cam is really the expert in this program, so I will yield to you, Cam.
Great.
Thank you.
Good morning.
As Nate said, my name is Cam Coleman. I'm a regional planner with the Southern New Hampshire Planning Commission. I want to thank you for your time tonight. So Nate reached out, mentioned that the planning board was interested in pursuing this housing opportunity grant, the first phase of it being the needs analysis. And so what I did is I put together a draft application, and I'm happy to go over it. I can kind of give a higher level, or I can kind of run through the whole thing. But I have been working with other communities on similar applications for needs analysis for this program. So I know what New Hampshire Housing is looking for. And so what I kind of wrote up was, it's at the end of the day, it's a master plan update. But with the caveat that everything that we would work on, if awarded, has to be related to housing. I am kind of familiar with the Candia Master Plan. I was around when it was last updated in 2017, and I have read it quite a few times in the past 2 weeks. And so your master plan, how it's set up right now, you know, it kind of focuses on different planning emphasis areas around town, which I think is a really neat way to do master planning. And then the other kind of parts of it are those community snapshots. And so what we would probably focus on is having a little more comprehensive analysis of housing in Candia, and then seeing where else we can do some updates within all of the emphasis areas, as well as updating the vision. And these are just ideas. If the board, you know, if you're like, no, you know, we don't want to update the vision, that's totally okay. We can talk about that. And so the way I'm kind of envisioning this update, there's kind of three or four major components. The first one is an initial preliminary data analysis, where we'll look at any sort of planning activities that have happened since the last master plan update, including the build-out analysis that I know Nate was a part of. We'll look at the Southern New Hampshire Planning Commission's regional housing needs assessment. There's a ton of data in there, a ton of data specific to Candia, that will really complement this project. And then from there, we'll do some community outreach. And that's a really big focus from New Hampshire Housing for this grant program. So I left it kind of vague in this application. And the reason is because if awarded, we would work with the grantors to create a public outreach strategy. And I believe in the past, Candia kind of was pretty heavy on like hard copy surveys around town. And, you know, we can talk about doing that. We can talk about getting creative, you know, using social media, you know, different websites, things like that. Southern New Hampshire Planning Commission, since 2017, has updated several other community master plans. So we've kind of gotten a pretty good feel of what we think works pretty well to engage residents in pretty similar sized communities to Candia too. So once we have a pretty good initial community outreach, we've done some preliminary data analysis, we would then move into, you know, working with the board to update the chapters themselves, again, with the focus on housing. And then we'd work with the board, kind of flush some things out, and then eventually we'd work towards, you know, revising them and then adoption. Another thing I want to mention is the Housing Academy, which Rudy, you brought up. That is something that's required of applicants for this program. So I think it's like 1 to 4 people can attend. I budgeted in for 2 people, assuming myself or another SNHPC staff member, and then someone either on the planning board or a staff member in Candia would attend. We can raise that, you know, to 3 or 4 people. That's fine with me. And yeah, so I'm happy to take any questions. We can, you know, work on this right now. I'd be happy to take any revisions or guidance. The application itself is due next Friday, January 27th. So there's a little time to do some revisions between now and then, but there isn't enough time for me to come back to a planning board meeting. So I do have one ask of you tonight, if the board is generally okay with this application, where it's heading, that the board would make a have a vote to authorize a representative in Candia, a town staff, Amy or maybe Andrea, to actually sign the application and submit it. The submittal does need to come from a municipality, and I will be a contact on the application as well. So, I'll, you know, I would be involved in any communication between New Hampshire Housing and Candia. Yeah, and so if there are any revisions, like I said, and the board is generally happy with this, if there is a vote to authorize a representative from Candia to submit it, I can work with them between now and next Friday to make sure all the revisions are met and we're all happy and on the same page. I do want to say that this is a really good opportunity. It's not every day that a chunk of money comes from the sky for planning activities, especially for master plans. So I applaud the effort to you know, try to go for this. So I'm happy to take any questions.
Good. Questions?
So maybe this will show how dumb I am. But so what will the $25,000, where will it go? What are we spending it on? Like, are we paying for your services? Are we paying, like, what is it?
It would, so under how this is written, Southern New Hampshire Planning Commission would administer the grants and complete the planning work.
Okay.
I will say, just to put it out there, there is a big list of consultants that towns can work with. If, you know, for whatever reason the board wants to choose a consultant out of that list, they can do that. You know, I'm happy to assist writing this application and making sure it happens for the town. We're also very happy to do the master planning work for Candia. You know, Candia is one of our communities. We value being able to provide that assistance to towns. So it's a little, kind of long-winded way to say that Southern Hampshire Planning would be doing the
any other questions?
Work.
So we kind of have it on the record and stuff here. What is the deliverable at the end after we go through this process, get the grant, spend the 25 grand.
Yep.
What's the deliverable?
The deliverable will be an updated master plan. It's probably not going to be, it's not going to be a complete redo of this master plan. What I'm kind of envisioning is a pretty robust housing chapter that then informs the other chapters of the plan. So kind of like I mentioned, like taking a look at those planning emphasis areas and seeing where that can fit in.
So redo one chapter that then other chapters are going to have to change because that chapter changed.
Yes. Yeah.
And this is a multiple step process.
Right.
This is just the first step of many.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So this is just this January 27th due date is just for this needs analysis application. There's two other phases. The second phase is a regulatory audit, and then the third phase is paying for or money to actually develop changes to your regulations if, you know, that's something that the town is interested in doing. And just for the record, I am working with the town of Deerfield on this first phase, and then we will be submitting for those next two phases. So once I get those applications kind of flushed out, you know, I'd be happy to share them with the town.
Because everybody on this board knows that just because it's in the town plan doesn't mean it makes it to the zoning regulation.
Right, so I think New Hampshire Housing's idea was...
stage two and three.
The 25 grand, is that the ceiling that pays
that
for
is, it? Yeah. So I figure let's go for it all. I know many other communities are doing that. You know, a lot of money can be spent on public outreach alone. From my experience in doing master plans, it can be a pretty big time sink, but it's really important. You know, at the end of the day, we don't want to spend a bunch of money and people, you know, feel like they didn't have a chance to engage in the process. So
I think we discussed this kind of in depth at other meetings and stuff, but probably just to make it so that's formalized, I would entertain a motion that the planning board authorize Southern New Hampshire Planning to be our consultant for this particular phase one needs analysis and planning grant.
So
then we have it formalized.
So he moved, I'll second.
Is there any discussions or any concerns or anything? I'll take a roll call vote. Rudy, yes. Mark?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes.
Judy?
Yes.
Josh?
Yes.
Joyce?
Yes.
And Tim?
Yes.
Okay. So that will formalize it that, you know, we are using you as our consultant for this.
Great.
The question that I have is you were talking about the contact person.
Yes.
Would the contact person be the one that would have to sign any of the agreements?
Yes. So the planning board is... does have the authority to sign, you know, to hire consultants for planning work. They are eligible in this grant application to submit the application, but authorized town staff are also eligible. So the planning board could authorize a staff member to be the one who signs and submits it. And I would work closely with whoever is the contact person to make sure we're, you know, it's submitted by the deadline and, you know, everything looks good.
What do you think?
I was thinking probably Andrea.
And Andrea would be the one to, you know, I think probably that would be appropriate. we're volunteering her, I don't know.
You mean voluntold?
Yeah, exactly.
What about you?
That's your job.
Could you be the person?
I could do it, yeah. Because it's just a matter of you know, signing and reviewing and stuff like that, and that's what I do. But
it doesn't have to be someone who's on the payroll for the city, for the town.
I figured the chair...
No, the chair of the planning board can do it, right?
Okay.
Yes, sorry.
Okay.
I just... I don't know Andrew very well personally, and so I just worry about someone that doesn't... know the day-to-day stuff that's happening on the planning board, signing stuff. I just would feel more comfortable if
she's just... pretty much in the loop of everything. That's her job, so.
Right, but again, she's not here.
No.
So.
Yeah, I think
do we have to decide? I mean, can we say it's you or her and then change it if it's not?
So we nominate him and take a vote.
I would. I spoke with Sarah Reitzman, who is kind of overseeing this grant process at New Hampshire Housing, and the meeting minutes of this meeting do need to reflect kind of the wishes of the planning board and who would be the contact person.
I don't feel strongly either way, but my suggestion's Rudy.
Yeah, mine too.
And Rudy, I can make it very painless. So.
Well,
I promise I won't send another miniature document.
Well, yeah, as long as you got it in regular 12 font, it's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with doing it because I know that I've worked with you guys a lot, and you do all the groundwork, and it's just a matter of reading, and reviewing and stuff, and that's all I do.
And if it's you, I don't even think we have to take a vote.
It still has to be a decision of the board. So
is that a vote, or do we just decide?
Why don't we do a motion?
Official vote.
I make a motion to have Rudy be the representative who can sign on behalf.
I'll second.
Any questions, concerns, comments? Rudy, yes. Mark?
Yeah.
Brian?
Yeah.
Judy?
Yes.
Josh?
Yes.
Joyce?
Yes.
Tim?
Yes.
Okay.
See what happens when people trust you, Rudy?
Well, don't go that far.
No,
that
yeah.
That wasn't part of the motion.
Yeah, right. That wasn't having to do anything with anything.
Trust them, come into it.
Let the record reflect.
I read through it, and I think that it looks good.
Excellent.
The way it's in there.
I don't think we're going to critique it any more than it is.
No, because it's you know, there's like not a lot of substance to it at this point in time. It's just a basic outline.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. So we will, if awarded, we'll start to flush that out more.
Right. The needs will be defined.
With UNH Cooperative Extension is also involved in. You know, we can talk about this. You know, I'll obviously be coming back here. We'll have a steering committee or just work directly with the planning board. But we'll have a kickoff meeting to kind of flush all of those details out and have, you know, a real strategy in front of us.
Now, just a question on the overall aspect of it and stuff. One of the things that we've worked on for our zoning ordinances this year is to cover RSA 272. With the workforce housing having the same niceties that every housing has, but will this cover that and more? Go affordable, because of the affordable housing is a totally separate animal. Will it mesh everything together, or how will it reflect all of the stuff that's out there right now into the master plan housing update section?
Yeah, I think. It's a good question. I don't know. I think, is that being voted on at this year?
Yeah, for the workforce housing
portion
of it.
Okay.
And, you know, we'll see how the voting goes, but from what everybody's telling me, and I understand that it's going to be in place July 1st anyways, whether the town votes it or not.
Yeah.
And they're trying to be a little bit proactive.
Yeah.
I don't know what would happen.
I think, you know, we would probably just dig into that. This is a planning. It's not necessarily, we probably won't go too deep into, you know, refining any regulations. I think we would, you know, take a look at all the implications and try to create a narrative about that in the master plan. And, you know.
One of the things that I've had people have had conversations with me on is that, we already have enough workforce housing based on the guidelines for, you know, being the richest county in the state.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of back and forth and confusion between all of those things. And so, not that, you know, obviously that would be the second and the third phase of this, but I think part of it, the whole process is going to be, like you said before, community outreach and actually define a lot of these things. And that's what I'm kind of hoping
we'll
be able to have.
That's a really good point. I think, you know, master plans are obviously important for communities. It's important for planning boards as a tool. The update process is also a really good public education, you know, experience. And so if that's, you know, one of the focuses of the planning board, you know, that's something we can really kind of dig into.
We did find out over the course of the last year that people were all of a sudden wondering what the heck the master plan was.
Yeah.
And what did it say and all its other stuff. So I think probably you're right. I think that's going to be a good portion of it is to do the education of people so that they basically participate in it.
Right.
And they know that this is not our document. This is the people's document.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Other
questions? Have you worked with towns long enough to see an actual effect of more affordable housing after we work through fixing master plan?
Well, I have a really good answer in that I probably haven't been working in the field long enough. Planning takes a while, but you know, I've seen towns act on, you know, master plans and then working on their zoning and then a new, you know, development comes in for affordable housing for folks. So it does happen. You know, it's, you know, a lot of times plans do sit on shelves, but if, you know, you have a proactive board, if you have a proactive community, you know, things can happen. So that, you know, that's not a great answer, but it's possible.
The problem is no town controls what development comes to the desk.
True.
We just got to make it as
straight
of a line as possible.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be, you know, very beneficial. As you said before, it's not going to change anything from a regulatory standpoint,
mm-hmm.
but I think it could have the good possibility of changing some people's, I guess I'd say, attitudes, you know, about different things, and that there actually is a plan mm-hmm. in place. This is not just some random thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking forward to that portion of it.
Excellent.
By all means.
Kevin's got his hand.
It's Kevin, go ahead.
Kevin Coughlin, Langford Road. Nate, the master plan we currently have, did your organization develop it?
Yeah, actually. It was a now retired planner in our office named Jack Munn that worked with the town back in 2016, 2017 on that effort.
So it's just a continuation of what you already have knowledge of.
Yeah, we do have institutional knowledge of the town's existing master plan, which I think can help pay dividends on this project.
Okay. Right. So Cam had said that if awarded, everything has to be related to housing.
Correct.
But so if we say we want to talk about traffic restructuring, that can be done as long as it's related to increased traffic flow because of additional housing or whatever it is. Is that true? Or
yeah,
is it,
I think
basically
so.
You're adding one chapter about housing.
No. We can look at any piece that is directly related to housing. So if there's, you know, transportation related issues. School related issues,
then yes. Law enforcement, fire, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So it sounds as though effectively you're going to help us get this grant, hopefully, with which we can then pay you to do this work.
That's correct.
And offload it from the board, which can't do it.
Right.
That effectively it?
That's correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they're also, as you probably know, they're working on our capital improvements.
That's right.
We'll discuss a little bit tonight, too. So Southern New Hampshire's been very good to us as far as doing a lot of this stuff. You know, we've gotten pushback from some people in the community that we're hiring people to do stuff, and outside people are telling us how to run the town from a planning board standpoint. And no one on this board has the experience to be a planner. Our knowledge or education. So we depend on who we consider our subject experts, you know, whether it be the town engineer, Southern New Hampshire Planning. So that's also going to be part of the sales pitch, is that this is not someone telling us what to do. It's getting the people, citizens involved
mm-hmm.
with it, and they're just putting everything together in a nice package.
Right, so this is effectively phase one, hopefully, of a $175,000 planning project that is going to be paid for by another entity other than taxpayers.
Other than local taxpayers, yes.
Right.
They're still paying for it.
It's not free money.
Right. We're all still paying for it.
And there is, there's really no strings attached.
No, I should have mentioned that. There's no match. There's no in-kind match. This really is a good opportunity. hopefully we get it.
Yeah.
I did mention to George Regan and Sarah Reitzman that Candia will be applying, and they seem pretty happy. So
good.
I was pleased when I looked through it. I was looking for hooks that kind of mandated certain housing things to be done, and there weren't any, so appreciate that.
Well, I think the nice thing about this is going to be is that there are a lot of things being pushed down from Concord concerning housing. Mm-hmm. So hopefully this will, I don't want to say give us answers to things, but it'll hopefully make it so that how are these things going to affect Candia, and what can we do to make it so that the citizens are comfortable with that.
Thanks.
Linda, go ahead.
I just have just my background. This will be edited, like, for spelling?
Yes, it will.
She said the English teacher and me.
Yeah.
I was marking it all up when I was reading it.
Retired English teacher has been busy
with us. Well,
this is a draft.
Between Linda and Judy, we don't let anything go through this planning board that hasn't been proofread.
Well, would you want, do you mind submitting that to one, to
sure.
him?
Oh, yeah. Anything you, any suggestions or edits, clearly?
Actually, it looked really good. There's only a couple, but that's good.
Yeah, I'm happy to take them. Yeah.
Kim, just so you know, Kevin and Linda and Mike are alternates to the planning board.
Oh, excellent.
Thanks. All right, anything else for Cam?
No, thank
you. Good job.
Awesome. Thank you very much for your time.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. We'll hope for the best.
Yes, we will. And I'll be in touch. And then maybe I'll grab your email before I leave. Yeah.
Just make sure that Amy gives you my cell phone number and stuff so you can text me whenever.
Excellent. All right. Well, thank you for your time. Appreciate it.
Thanks. See you later.
Thanks.
Thanks.
You too.
This actually would probably come under a title of planning for the capital improvements plan update, but if you don't mind, I want to bring that up, seeing that Nate's here now.
Sure.
Yeah, and I was just basically going to ask all of you. I mean, when we last talked, we had some markups to the prioritization process and the form. I have made those edits. So those items are kind of ready to be implemented. When we last talked, the board had thought that it might be good to wait a little into the new year. And a lot of things happening around town kind of at the same time. The board kind of generally talked about February for kind of putting that call for CIP projects out. So I guess, it's not on the agenda or anything here tonight, but I guess, what is your current thinking about the timing, the appropriate timing, giving other things going on in town for when to kind of initiate that process?
Well, first thing, it's on the agenda.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, we have it's under town planning.
Town planning, yes. Okay. Yep.
It's something that we have just as a normal on every meeting, so it's kind of a catch-all for anything that we
Got
need
it.
To do with town planning. So that's why I said, if you don't mind, I'm going to bring that one up from under other business.
Yeah, so that's basically my question is when do you see as the appropriate time to put out that call for CIP projects from all the department heads and partner agencies that
probably
we talked about?
Second half of February.
Yeah, well, I was going to ask Brian, too, because right now, basically, nothing is going on. Nothing can go on because the budget's been submitted. Our meeting's coming up. So it just seems to me that this is, I don't know, I'll probably use a bad choice of word, but a dead zone.
Well, it will be once everything is all prepared for town meeting.
Yeah.
That's why I'm saying the latter part of February is probably a good time to initiate
to start
those requests
it.
And stuff.
Okay.
Because right now everybody's working on town reports and
right.
wrapping things up and getting it ready for town meeting.
Yeah, because that has to be done by the end of January.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
So preparing the the town, you know, report and all that takes a little time. So I'm just thinking of the office, so they won't have
Because the office will not, they're going to have to.
So I would think the latter part of February. Second.
What's your meeting schedule in February?
First and third.
First and third.
So it'd be the first and the 15th?
Yeah. First and the, so if I came back and visited you on February 15th with the kind of full solicitation package and we reviewed it, made any edits, and you put your seal of approval on it, we could roll it out shortly after that, if that makes sense.
Well, do you want to, you think it might be better if we did it on February 1st so that...
You want to do it February 1st? Okay.
So we have another meeting to...
Sure.
Yeah.
In case we do...
Right now, we really don't have anything on the agenda for the 1st.
Well, I will come here on February 1st, and we'll put a button on the solicitation package, and then even if we decide it doesn't make sense to put it out till later in the month, that's fine, too.
Yeah, okay. I'd rather be kind of like ahead of the... Just in case anything needed to be modified or updated or anything.
So what I'll do is... I'll put the form together, a PDF version of the form. I'll look at different options for electronic submissions, a Google form or something like that. Mm-hmm. I'll write a cover memo that we can review on the 1st. It should come from the town, so yeah. I will write it and in general, as if it's coming from the town and whoever you all see fit to actually be the signatory. But just a cover memo explaining to the department heads and to the partner agencies that what the CIP process is, how it works, what the deadline is. My thought would be to give people a month. But if you think more or less time is appropriate, that's fine, too. But a month might be a... reasonable starting point.
Well, I probably have two suggestions that maybe with the letter going out, probably with the planning board chair and the board of selectmen chair name on the letter going out to the department heads, just to explain what it is. You know, from the planning board standpoint, it's like, that's fine, explain what it is. But I think from a standpoint of making sure that people are doing what they should be doing would come from the board of selectmen chair. To really say, you know, this is a requirement that we need everybody to be working on.
Yeah, we had to put out frequent requests the last time.
Yes.
People weren't responding that fast, but...
One of the things that, that I'll offer up is maybe in that letter we can identify a time... where I can be available, I don't even know what you'd call it, open house or office hours or something like that, for if any of the department heads or partner agencies need assistance in filling out the form, they're not sure what something means, that sort of thing. I can, give a date or two, where I can be available. I can camp out here for, an hour or two or something and just... If people want to come in and need assistance with anything, I can kind of have a office hours or something in a designated time where if anybody needs help filling out the form, we can help.
Well, if that first meeting in February is not busy, maybe we could request that the department heads be here for that.
But are we going to time? But are we going to have all the stuff? See, that's
we won't have all the stuff. But if he wants to go over the form,
but I could always do that. Whenever we put it out, too. So if we're not going to put it out till later in February,
okay. I think it's a great idea because that way, everybody will have the same information. That this is the kind of backup information that's required. Mm-hmm. Blah blah blah.
Yeah.
But I was thinking that even if we didn't do it on a meeting night, probably could do the 15th. But have it so that Nate was here. We could have people come here if they wanted to, or have a Zoom if people couldn't come down here, or something along that line. So,
my thought would be to put it in the letter that goes out of, here's the process, here's the form, here are the different ways of submitting the form. If you need assistance, we've got the following times where office hours will be available or. Yeah, technical assistance will be, we'll find some way of wording it where, when we send the materials out to people, they'll know that there will be, options for them to get hands-on assistance in filling out the form if they need it. So if we put it, if we send that out in the second half of February, it might make sense to have that kind of, you know, office hours or whatever be in the first part of March, maybe as people are starting to dive into it.
Let's discuss that at the February 1st meeting. Then,
we could get the calendar out and see what works best in terms of, but I'm, you know, I'm happy to make myself available to try to make it as painless as possible for your department heads to fill the form out, but also make sure that you're getting the most useful information that you can to be able to evaluate these projects and develop a CIP. So,
and there are a lot of things coming up. You know, we've got the
you gotta buy new fire equipment. We got the expansion on the fire station.
Yeah.
We're trying to build a police station.
Right.
You've got significant projects.
There are. And you know, it's a lot of this stuff is thrust on the Board of Selectmen, and then the budget committee to get these requests coming in. And you know, people have to come up with the realization that, you know what, we just can't spend $300,000 a year for different projects without planning on when this money's going to, where it's coming from, and, you know, the nice low impact in the taxes. So.
Well, this also ties into impact fees.
Yes.
So that if people want us to be able to collect those and use them within the town for what we need,
right,
then this is what steps we got
to plan ahead. We have to do some planning.
Wow.
What a new concept.
Crazy.
Get a committee.
I think that probably, you know, that's one of the other things, too, is with the impact fees. We're going to have to see how the budget goes on that. Because, again, that's going to be a very significant part of this whole process. I mean, we have the capital improvements plan, but if we're not getting funds coming in, it's just going to start hitting the taxes, the taxpayers.
Right. Let's try to reduce that by doing the impacts.
Right. So, yeah, so I keep saying this, that this is kind of really following on what you were saying, Kevin, is that the way that the whole RSA about how the planning board operates is that the planning board's required to prepare a master plan, but then the master plan, in order to do the capital improvements plan, has to have good backing in the master plan. And then the capital improvements plan, if it's nice and solid, will allow you to do impact fees because it's based on all those three documents. So it falls through. And sometimes I think, well, we found out in a number of cases where we've fallen very short on getting the proper documentation the way we should.
It's a heavy lift to get all those things in place. Mm.
It is.
And it takes things like money to do it.
Yeah.
But part of this grant that we're getting is going to help lead us to that because we're going to go over our regs.
Right, right.
Which is also part of that process.
Yeah. Yeah. Other questions for Nate?
So I will be here February 1st.
Great.
And we'll dive in get all of the ducks in a row for that call for projects. And you know, depending on the schedule that we lay out on February 1st, we'll be ready to put that out, you know, whenever the board sees fit, probably in the back half of February. So sounds good.
Nate, are you on the February 1st meeting, are you going to come with a draft of that cover letter as well? Or
I am.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I am.
Now, anything you want to send earlier, Amy can send it out.
Yeah, I will. I will
before the meeting and
try to get things to Amy. When do you normally send the packet out, Amy?
I can send it out when I can send out in stages. When you get it to me, I can send it out.
Okay, I will. I will do that.
Okay.
Yeah, Amy's very good about getting any documentation out to us before the meeting when we get it in. So
perfect. All right. See you all on February 1st.
All right.
Thanks.
All right.
Thanks.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks.
All right. Old business, approval of the minutes.
Any edits, Judy?
Nope.
I have one.
Go for it.
Wow. Just Just one.
Yeah, Rudy has.
Well, I might have. No, I circled the one that you already.
Yeah, just that one, 1913.
Maybe you already talked about it.
No, that's okay.
Line 50?
Yeah. But, oh, no. Line 50.
It's just a silly little. And silly I may little. Be reading it wrong, but attorney for the applicant said they will not be homeowners association. Association dot. Oh, yeah, that is right. I thought it was supposed to be there will not be homeowners association. Could be either way. Okay, never mind.
Okay. Yeah, and just for
what was that? What
never mind.
Official, it would be line 324. Says, are you in favor of the adoption of amendment number 1? It should be number 13. That's for the.
That's important. Yeah.
That's for the workforce housing one. There was a question. Just so you know, there was a question. That Amy had called me up on today that her and Andrea had that we didn't have a vote on the workforce housing write-up that was in there. It didn't need to be because this is the one that authorizes the workforce housing amendment and all the documentation. That's the same thing that was done when we did the village district. And mm-hmm. It was also the same way that it was done when the original over 55 housing amendment was adopted. That I don't think people would want to sit there and have a 3-page, ballot to have to read through everything. Mm-hmm. So that is okay to do. It's appropriate.
I make a motion to accept the minutes with the necessary changes we've mentioned tonight.
I'll second that.
Any discussion? We have a motion and a second. Rudy, yes. Mark?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes.
Judy?
Yes.
Josh?
Yes.
Joyce?
Yes.
And Tim?
Yes.
Let's see. Appeal updates. We did go to the pre-hearing for the Foster Farms appeal. And it was just mostly just preliminary things to get things organized. Attorney Sullivan is working on some motions to submit. And he's actually looking to see if we can have another preliminary hearing. So I'll keep everybody appraised on that to see what he comes up with. There was a few questions of, obviously, questions of law. That he's working on. So at this point in time, it's still in their hands in legal aspects. It's still on for, what was it,
February 9th? Well, it said 9th? February 9th in here. Yeah.
February 9th. It's a very small room. There's only 12 chairs, and it's a table like this with three people that are on the advisory board and a clerk who takes minutes, and it's also, you can if you want, it's not Zoom, but it's another
it's phone call thing that you can dial up.
Yeah.
WebEx.
Was it WebEx? Yeah. I think it was WebEx. So if anybody wants to, attend the hearing for WebEx, you can, and we can get the information out to you. As a matter of fact, the attorney for Foster Farms wasn't there in person. He was on WebEx. So.
Was the applicant there in person?
No. The only people that were there in person was
you guys?
Our attorney, Joyce. Judy, myself.
And Betsy Cruz.
And Betsy Cruz. It's a very, very small room. Very formal.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Yes. They limit testimony to time, and there's a little...
But
low
timer,
kind of like the owl, and it turns color. It's green, and then if you're getting close to when you're going to run out of time, it turns yellow, and when it turns red, you stop.
Wow.
So, which is the same way that Congress does it, because I testified to a subcommittee in Congress once, and there's a little stoplight right under the thing that says you got to, when it says red, you stop.
Yeah. Does that apply to the congressman too, though?
No. So that
they run the stop sign.
Yeah,
the stop sign.
Yeah, it's only testimony from normal people.
Right.
So that's ongoing.
Mm-hmm.
Should get one of those here.
Any
for
questions?
The public or for the board?
any questions on that? Comments?
Did you ever find out what the background of the three on the board are?
I know.
Yes.
Divulge that?
Yes, they do. Yeah.
Do they?
Yeah. Yeah.
And?
I know, I don't know all three of them. One of them is an attorney. One of them is a licensed land surveyor. And I didn't catch what the chair.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Was.
But they told.
Yeah.
They
did?
Yeah. And it's they're actually full-time people, from what I gathered.
Full-time people, which
you know,
is
you know,
right.
They're paid full-time to do this?
Yeah. That's the impression that I got.
And they were really official.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. It was very official. So we'll keep
this
focusing.
This is official. Come on.
But they're a little more formal official and, you know, no messing around. And
yeah. It's, you know, it's seriously, it's just about the same as a court.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's right down the line that it's
well,
this,
I think that's what it's supposed to represent.
Well, yeah.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be
a passing judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Right. A judicial setting.
So are we going to, Amy going to be able to put out that WebEx thing to us?
Yes, yeah.
For the next one? All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Let's see. Okay, so any questions? None or not. Other business, proposed zoning amendment outreach efforts. Just wanted to kind of get a sense of the board on what we should do. And one of the things that I was going to ask Mark to do on this, because none of us, it would be probably you and Beth, to come up with something to explain in, you know, straightforward language what the reasoning is behind the cemetery ordinance that's being looked for.
Okay.
What I was thinking is something similar to what we did for the village district.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mind writing up a few, you know, just a draft and sending it to everybody over here just to kind of get it on.
Bless
you. Bless you. Because obviously some of them are just straightforward. I mean, you know, when you're changing a typographical error, it doesn't
mm-hmm.
need to be anything in that. But there are a few things on there that... from the public hearing that we had, some things that I didn't even realize that were causing some consternation that we're not even touching. Like the one was on the elderly housing with having four residents. And all we were trying to do with that one was change it from apartments to dwelling units or living units or something. So those kind of things just need to be clear that
mm-hmm.
the intent of this ordinance is just to change one mm-hmm. word. So if anybody has any ideas for things like that, by all means, you know, send it to me. I'll put some stuff together. I don't mind doing it. I know I'm crazy, but I don't like doing it. I like doing those things. So. But
well,
I think it,
will
I think
we be having like another regular planning board meeting where we could really, you know, say now's your chance to come and understand this and the importance of whatever, especially that one where we're putting in the wording about workforce and using the elderly housing template.
Right.
Because if we don't do something, it's going to be worse.
Yeah, we should do. I don't know what, like I said, I mean, I'm open to whatever outreach efforts people have.
I like the idea, but the trouble is you just don't get the bodies here for that. That's the
right.
trouble.
Well, the thing too about that is, like I had brought up before, we never really talked about it. I think you were going to ask the attorney. Was limiting it to a distance from the four corners.
Yeah.
I would say in a mile, but it could be a half mile from the four corners either way. That way we control where the workforce housing is.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of what we're into with the elderly housing right now.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So instead of having it down on New Boston or down off Merrill or wherever, it's up towards here at the center of town where all the services
mm-hmm.
are.
Yeah, and see, then that was going to be one of the other things, too, is that if we
ever do the affordable housing. That's going
to
be more.
Well, that's
more
why I
critical.
Wanted to talk about the affordable. Yeah, workforce housing. That way, we keep it up here.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll put some stuff together. What I think we should do is to have some kind of written document, like, you know, a pamphlet or whatever. Because I think we did that. I have to go back and check somewhere
else.
Did.
I
think we did that for the...
For the Four Corners.
The Four Corners.
So we set that in the Boy Scout package.
Right. Something in that same vein. Have it done early so it's like even available here or something like that. And then if anybody asks any questions, then everybody has the documentation right there. It's like, well, this is the reason for it. So,
yeah.
And you know,
what is the deadline for the Boy Scouts?
I don't know the exact date.
My neighbor just posted something on Facebook about the deadline. I'll look it up real quick.
That's going to be the other thing, too, is that we have no money.
Right.
So we're going to have to probably...
Well, it's just going to come up with a printing card that we can probably do that.
We have no budget.
No.
But, yeah.
Budget
so, yeah.
For what? For the printing of stuff
for the printing,
to go in?
Yeah. Yeah.
If you did it on the town copier and handed the Boy Scouts a ream of paper, would that work or not?
Well, you have to have 200.
It's a lot on the copier. It's 1,700 copies.
Let me work on that a little bit.
These copiers aren't really designed to do that.
I think it was what, $185
yeah.
last time?
We're trying to squeak another year.
Yeah, I know.
If you start printing now.
They're good for, you know, a dozen here, six there, but you start that process and
I might find a funding source, so I'll let you know by next meeting.
Doesn't have a deadline on the website. It just says the reports are going to go out between March 3rd and March 5th, so... Oh, February 8th.
Wow.
February 8th.
Go out before March
5th. We don't have a whole lot of time.
We do not.
No, it isn't. A lot of time.
So we got one meeting, we can finalize it.
Yeah, okay. Yep.
Yeah, I think we need to do that because it's difficult to get into that booth. You know, I know from personal experience, you're sitting there, and you're trying to
that's
understand.
Why you get a lot of no's, because if you don't understand it, they're just
going
to say no.
You know. Well, so I have my wife sitting next to me goes, what does this mean?
Yeah.
Just yes. Just write yes. To
you. You give her the template. 1 to 32, you say,
here,
this
honey,
is
this
we
is
go.
Your ballot.
Well, I know for the cemetery one, like Kevin brought out, there's a Revolutionary War soldier that was buried down off of Boyd's property.
Mm, yeah.
Oh.
And where the marker is, it's kind of hard to believe that they put a grave there. So it could be anywhere. So
in that area.
Yeah, in the area.
Right.
So when we're talking about the cemetery stuff, that's why we're asking coordinates. Because now you can get coordinates with GPS, or your phone.
Your
phone will
give
you where it is.
So, and if, you know, like I said, if someone's got some other ideas from different things, like the reason that I asked Mark and Beth to do that is because obviously they're very involved with that whole process and what they found.
Yeah, and when you made the talk at the public hearing on it, I mean, everybody immediately got it. So I think just what you said, we just put that in.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's going to be important.
Draft something up, send it over to me.
Well, I'll approach the chair of the trustees and maybe she'll type it.
You know the hierarchy, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
We'll let the chair take care of it.
Did I read correctly that the citizen's petition was submitted too late? So
that was my next item of
Perfect.
Business. Would you like
Perfect
to
question.
Go right into that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. The last time when we got this, we did talk about the whole thing about the rescinding of all of the Section 504, 505, and 506, basically to get rid of all elderly housing. I think we briefly discussed it. Did we discuss it at the last meeting, or as it came after the last meeting?
No, I think we went over a little bit.
Because, again, it was one of those things. I woke up at 2:30 in the morning.
Oh, God.
And I said, wait a minute, something's not right. So I got up and went into my office and pulled out the New Hampshire Municipal Association listing of when everything had to be done.
Well, it came in that for a citizen's petition warrant article for zoning, it has to be between 90 and 100 days before the town meeting that it has to be submitted. So the petition warrant articles for zoning amendments had to be in by December 14th. This one was submitted January 9th, so it was too late to put on for this year's warrant. I understand that it's probably going to come up again next year, but it's not on the warrant for this year. The only one is to change Section 10.
Yeah.
So you heard right.
That's great news.
So that was that one. That was the town planning. And anything else the board has? Anybody have anything?
Motion to adjourn.
I'll second.
It's okay, it's okay with me. I'm not going to say no.
Hello,
So. Wait a minute. It hasn't been a full hour yet.
Good. Makes up for some of those late nights, right?
Yeah,
right.
It makes up for the last one, right?
Minutes.
That was, what, three?
Three and a half hours.
Three and a half hours?
Yeah.
That was a long one.
Motion and a second. Rudy, yes. Mark?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes.
Judy?
Yes.
Josh?
Yes.
Joyce?
Yes.
And Tim?
Yes.
Right. Thank you all for your time and being here.